Can you say amen, family? It's still in my heart from last year when I was here, when your brother sang a song, Just Give Me Jesus. Played the guitar and Just Give Me Jesus. I was so amazed. It's such a joy when the young people praise God, isn't it? The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. No doubt about it, that's got to be, if not the greatest ministry, one of the greatest, is ministering to our young people. We've got to pass on the legacy. We've got to let them know that Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world, the most important person. We've got to have Jesus. I was talking to a friend just a couple of days ago, and he was sharing with me a certain line from one of the old Clint Eastwood movies that really stuck with him. This friend of mine just got through participating a while back in the Half Iron Man. Anybody here did the Iron Man or the Half Iron? Me either, so yes. Right. So he did this Half Iron Man, and he was telling me what a torturous event it was for him. He's 63 years old right now, and he just did it last year. And he was telling me the line from the Clint Eastwood movie said this: a man's got to know his limits. And he says he now knows his limits. For the child of God, there aren't any limits. There are no limits to the one that gives their lives completely to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the little book Education says, higher than the highest human thought can think is God's ideal for his people. We can't imagine what God wants to do to us and through us. And tonight's message, all things are possible. They really are. There are no limits for the child of God. Before we go to the good book this evening, won't you bow with us for prayer, please? Precious Father in heaven, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. We thank you for bringing us to the house of prayer once again. And dear God, we must confess that many times we may not reveal our love just the way we should, but we want you to know tonight that in our own fumbling, bumbling, stumbling way, we do love you. Help us to reveal that love by serving you and obeying you with a joyful and a cheerful spirit. Oh, Father God, our hearts go out to your family around the world today as we think in a very special way about our young men and young women in Iraq and Afghanistan, away from family and friends. Oh, God, be with our young people over there. Thank you so much for being so good to them. Be with Gabriel and Douglas in a very special way, dear God. Oh, Father, tonight, as we turn our attention to your holy book, we ask in the holy name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will be the guiding light in all that we do and in all we say. And Father God, when it is all done and said tonight, if there be any glory, then let it all go to Calvary, for that's where all the glory comes from. In Jesus' precious and powerful name, we do pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. The book of St. Mark, chapter 5. We're going directly to a case study tonight. We hope to look at possibly three case studies. Case study number one, Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Possibly a very familiar portion of scripture to most of you, concerning the woman with the issue of blood. While you're turning there, I might just remind you, Mark is the shortest of the four Gospels. It only has 16 chapters. Mark is also the oldest of the four Gospels. Each Gospel presents Jesus Christ in a different slant, if you will. Mark presents Jesus as the suffering servant. throughout the book of Mark. He's just moving from place to place serving. Matthew presents Jesus as the king. You might remember, this is the only book of the four Gospels where the wise men come from the east and they ask the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Luke presents Jesus as the perfect man. Luke is the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. He wrote two of the books, Luke and what's the other one? Acts. Very good. Yes. So he presents Jesus as the perfect man, and John presents Jesus as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Tonight, let's go now with Mark. They're all very good, aren't they? Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 25, the Bible says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years." Let's slow down right there. This woman was hemorrhaging. She was bleeding for 12 years. 144 months, unstoppable bleeding. Can you imagine what this must have been like? And obviously, as we're going to continue to read, we're going to see that she was a very wealthy woman with no health insurance. Look at the next verse. It says, "And she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse." Oh, friends of mine, as I allow my imagination to try to see this lady, can you see her going the first time when the blood first starts and she doesn't know what it is, going to her primary physician, if you will? And he looks at her and evaluates her and does his diagnosis and says, "Wow, this is very strange, very unique." And he makes his prescription to her and sends her on her way. And she comes back 3 or 4 weeks later and says, "Doctor, it's still the same. It's changed." And he makes another prescription, maybe giving her some kind of medication that's supposed to be an astringent, supposed to tighten up the blood vessels. And another 3 or 4 weeks later, she comes back and it's still happening. And the doctor says, "We need to send you to a specialist. Want to send you to the Mayo Clinic over in Minneapolis." And then everywhere she goes, every doctor, the specialist is cha-ching, cha-ching, ching, ching. She's paying money everywhere she goes. The specialist, can't quite figure this out. They give a prescription, it doesn't work. He sends them to another specialist in Boston, and from Boston to Paris, and she's going everywhere she can, and she's not getting any better. 12 years. Can you see her getting to the end of her rope? And now she leaves the traditional medical field, and she goes to the alternative lifestyle. She goes to the alternative medicine, if you will. Can you see her going to the chiropractor where he snaps, cracks, and pops, trying to get her in alignment, and nothing happens? She is still bleeding no matter how much she's aligned. And as she goes from the chiropractor, she goes to the acupuncturist, if you will, and he gets out his needles and he's just poking and he's ticking. See this woman tonight. Let her come alive to you. She's trying everything she knows, and she is not getting better. She can't figure it out. She has no idea yet that this is a case for only one person. So, 144 months. Just to give you a little more of this. If she's bleeding consistently and constantly, they don't let her in the synagogue anymore. Yeah, she can't go to church and sit with other people now because you're in this way. Her friends now are starting to gossip. As a matter of fact, some of her friends are no longer her friends. For at one time, she was at all of the nice parties. She was at all the places where you were seen with those people in the high places. And now she has gone from the high places down to the lower places. But something happens. Verse 27. It says, when she had heard of The Bible doesn't tell us how she heard. It doesn't tell us who told her, who said what. But some kind of way, she heard the name of Jesus. It might have been blind Bartimaeus. It might have been Mary Magdalene. We don't know who it was, but somebody told her about this itinerant preacher who was going from place to place, and lo and behold, he had never lost a case. So now she goes to the divine physician. The Bible says in verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she had said within herself, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Something somebody had said to her about Jesus had awakened faith. Her hope had come alive once again. She thought, maybe there is a way. She had heard so much about this man, what he's done for others. Maybe he can actually do it for me as well. Maybe he's got just what I need. And as that faith started to grow from little bit to little bit and getting stronger and stronger, she had made it up in her mind, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And lo and behold, the Bible says, when she touched, in verse 29, straightway or immediately, the fountain, the flow of her blood was dried up immediately after 12 years. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague, of that incurable disease that no specialist could cure. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? My. How strange that must have sounded. Everybody in the crowd is bumping up against Jesus. Everybody's bumping up against one another. And Jesus looks back and says, who touched my clothes? And the disciples responded just like that in verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude pressing upon you, and you say, who touched me? What do you mean, who touched me? Jesus says in verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done inside of her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth about the whole 12 years, how she spent all of her money as she went from doctor to doctor. She testified. What a powerful testimony. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. Praise God is right. You know, one of the ways that this is presented in one of the other gospels, there it is in verse 30. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. I was so intrigued by this word virtue that I did something I don't normally do. I looked up the Greek word. I don't usually go to the Greek. And the Greek word for virtue is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. It means power. Jesus recognized somebody had touched him and power had gone out of him into someone. Someone had made contact. Now, if we fast forward to our time today, the church tonight, quite a few people here, everybody bumping up against Jesus, but not everyone is touching him. If somebody touches him in this audience tonight, virtue will go out of him again into them. That same virtue that he had, he has now. And he taught a very important lesson to this lady and to us. He says, it wasn't the touching of my clothes that healed you. It was, what does it say in verse 34? Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is nothing superstitious here. This is no lucky charm. This is no rabbit's foot. It's not touching my clothes that makes you heal. It's faith. If you've got the faith tonight that this woman had, whatever your ailment, whatever your problem, whatever your disease, you can be healed tonight because Jesus has lost none of his power. All things are possible. Things that men cannot do, God can do. As a matter of fact, we're told that our extremity is God's opportunity. He loves those cases that we call incurable, those situations that we term hopeless. There is no help. There is no way out. And God is just, oh no, let me show you. Oh, friends of mine, all things are possible with God. We've got to get that in our minds. This God we serve is like no one else. We're not serving a false God. We say with Peter tonight, as he says in one of his epistles, he says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not some fable. This is not some mythology we're talking about here. We're not talking about Hercules, who was a myth. He wasn't real. We hear the mythology so much, sometimes we get them mixed up. There are actual people who think that Hercules was real. There was nothing real about him. There's no such person as Zeus and Apollos and all the rest of them. Those are myths. We have not followed cunningly devised myths, friends of mine. This is not some Disneyland thing here. This is not some Mickey Mouse. This is the real deal. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. You've got to look at this next case study over in the book of Joshua. Just before the book of Judges, Joshua chapter 10. Here's the background as you turn there. Joshua is fighting the battles of the Lord, and it looks like the enemies of God are going to get away. It looks like the sun is going to set before he can finish wiping them out. And what does he do? Look what this bold warrior for Christ does. It says in Joshua 10, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. Notice the next verse, please. Read it slowly. And the sun, what does it say? Hold it, hold it, hold it. The sun stood still. What is it, 93 million miles away from us? Your prayers can affect a body 93 million miles. He has the audacity to say to the sun, stop. You know, they have done astronomical studies, and they have found, scientists have found, that a day has been missing on the calendar. And they said when they found that it was really not quite a day, but it was like 40 minutes difference, not quite a whole day. Do you know where the other 40 minutes came from? You remember Hezekiah? When it said he was going to die and God asked him, what do you want me to do about the sun? You want it to go down quicker or slower? He said, take the sundial back 10 degrees. And this 10 degrees makes up the other 40 minutes. Our God, what are we talking about here tonight, this whole week? We're talking about someone who is beyond Superman. He is much more powerful than a locomotive. He can do much more than leap tall buildings with a single bound. He is much faster than a speeding bullet. Friends of mine, we have got to get it in our psyche. We've got to get it deep down in our hearts that there is nothing too hard for our God, because the times are coming upon us when it's going to look like we have no way out. Daniel tells us in chapter 12, verse 1, that there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. We have got to be ready, and the only way to be ready is to have our faith so charged up, to be so on fire for him, to be so in love with him, that we can get to the point that we'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, even if he doesn't deliver us, our God is able, but if not, we're still not going to serve your idols. Joshua tells the sun to stand still. In verse 13, it says, and the sun stood still, and the moon stayed or stopped until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. And just like he fought for Israel then, he fights for Israel now. The only thing is, we're not talking of physical, biological Israel. We're talking about a spiritual Israel. It really breaks my heart as many people still think that the Jewish nation is the chosen people. It is no longer the chosen nation. You need to understand very clearly, when Jesus Christ came, he came to his own and his own received him not. They said of Jesus, his blood be on us and on our children. They said, we have no king but Caesar. Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. It is no longer a biological chosen people. It's important that you lock into this. You and I can be Jews. You've got to get this, because God is not dealing with physical Jews. He's dealing with spiritual Jews. Go with me in the book of Romans chapter 2. Let the Bible speak for itself. Romans chapter 2. Right after the book of Acts. The last two verses. Romans chapter 2. Beginning at verse 28. The Bible says, Romans 2:28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. The Lord God looketh not on the outward, according to 1 Samuel 16:7. He looks on the inward, and that's where the person is a Jew. We're talking about spiritual Jews. There are those who actually think the 144,000 will be those of the Jewish nation. Not true. Go with me to the book of Revelation, please. Chapter 3, I believe, is what we want. Revelation, chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. The Bible says, Revelation 3, 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, the church of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. You must be a Jew inwardly. Friends of mine, that does not mean God does no longer love the Jewish nation. He does. Now, the only difference is they are chosen individually rather than as a nation. Are you with me? There is no chosen nation on earth any longer. It's all an individual thing now. People from every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue are going to come to him. You've got to lock into this. Our God is going to do something so fantastic in these last days that it's going to just knock our literal socks off, if you will. Let's look at another case study in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, if you will. Matthew, chapter 15. Matthew 15, beginning at verse 21. I love this story. I can never get enough of this. Matthew 15, verse 21. The good book says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Are you with me? Amen. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She's coming to Jesus not for herself. She's coming to Jesus for her daughter. And she's crying out to the Savior, have mercy on me. She is not a Jew. She is a Gentile. The next verse, please. It says in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Now, friends of mine, pay close attention. Sometimes you may be praying and you don't get an answer. This woman is talking to Jesus and he didn't respond back to her. It's not because he's being impolite. It's not because he's being uncourteous. He is testing her faith. He is testing her resolve. What do you want and how bad do you want it? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. But you don't ask once, you don't seek once, you keep knocking, you keep asking until you get what you desire. He's testing her faith. The Bible goes on in verse 23. Not only did Jesus not answer her, but it says, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. There's illumination there. The disciples represent the church, do they not? This is the body of Christ. Send her away. There are some people that the church don't want anything to do with. She's a hindrance to us. She's a loser, if you will. Someone sang the song, in heaven's eyes, there are no losers. Sometimes we don't want to be bothered with the very blessing that God is bringing to us. But God brings blessings in disguise. It doesn't look like a blessing. God will bring an alcoholic to you. He'll bring a drug addict to you. He will bring a prostitute to you. He will bring someone that you think, oh, what? And God will heal them for his glory. These disciples, send her away. We don't have time for her. My gracious, what does it look like? She's going to give our church a bad reputation. What will people think if she's coming to our church? Are you hearing me tonight? Are you hearing the word of God? The disciples, James, John, Peter, send her away. We don't have time for her. Jesus has time for her. Oh, yes, he does. Notice the rest of the story. It says in verse 24, but he answered finally and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not going to the lost sheep of the Gentiles yet. It's not your turn yet. I'm going to the Israelites first. The woman in verse 25, then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Oh, what a powerful prayer. Lord, help me. My resume may not be perfect. Maybe I didn't make the honor roll or the dean's list. Maybe I don't have it all together, but Lord, help me. Maybe I'm not one of your good, perfect Christians. Maybe I don't dress just right just yet. Maybe my diet is not what it should be, but Lord, help me. I don't have it together. I don't have anything to give to you that's worth anything, but Lord, the Bible says in verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Is he testing her faith or what? She does not get an attitude. Don't call me no dog. That's not what she said. She's there on serious business. She's there. Her daughter is possessed of a devil. And now she, I'm not leaving here until I get what I came for. I'm going to pull the Jacob card on you. I'm not going to let you go except you bless me. So here she is wrestling. No. I'm not listening to your disciples who want to send me away. I'm going to stay right here until I get what I need for my little girl. I'm not going to watch her one more night go through these agonies that she's going through, hearing the demons tearing her and her screaming out, no, I need some satisfaction tonight, and you're the only one that can give it to me. Verse 27, and she answered Jesus when he said, it's not right to give it to the dogs. truth, Lord. I'm not going to argue with you. You know truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She's putting it right back in this court, isn't she? The same bread that you're talking about. I'm putting that bread. I don't need much, Lord. If I can't have a loaf, if I can't have a slice, just what about a couple of crumbs? Let a couple of crumbs fall from your table. The Bible says in verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. Whatever you want, you got it. That's it. You really believe that much? It goes on to say, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh my. All things are possible. I cannot overemphasize to you, my friends, this is not fiction. This is not fake. This is not something somebody made up. This is the truth, the whole truth, and the nothing but the truth. So help us God. And we realize that our God is no respecter of persons. And what he did for the Syrophoenician woman, what he did for the woman with the issue of blood, what he did for Joshua, he's waiting to do for us as well. We have got to get to this point that we recognize that nothing, absolutely nothing, is too hard for our God. Our youngest daughter is 20 years old. And she had a baby out of wedlock about a year and a half ago. And you know how you want it to be right. And she... I guess she's trying to find herself. But believe me, young ladies, young men, until you find Jesus, you're not going to find yourself. Because Jesus is the only one who can introduce you to you. Jesus is the only one who knows who you are. You don't know who you are. So she's been... going through some things, and we've been trying to get her to move to Idaho, but she wouldn't come. She's still in San Diego. But she let us take the daughter. So our granddaughter is living with us. And we're so grateful for that. So grateful. But we are just like this woman. God, we want our daughter. We want our daughter. You did it for the Syrophoenician woman. You'll do it for us. And we're not going to stop knocking. My wife has this ministry. And the name of the ministry is Spiritual Dynamite. And what she does, she's had it for a year now, this month. And what they do, I guess there's about 40 women involved throughout the United States, and I think some people overseas as well. They fast 5 days a month. That's one of the members, amen. 5 days a month they go without eating every month. No food. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. The devil doesn't have a chance. He does not have a chance. Amen. Believe me when I say, I don't know what you need or what you want. All it's a matter of is how bad do you want it? If you want it bad enough, if you're willing to do anything and everything for the glory of God to get what it is that's in your heart that you need, you can have it. Nothing is impossible for the child of God. All things are possible. If you're interested in that ministry, I just mentioned my wife has, just see Laura Laura, she works with them every month. And what they do is they take special prayer requests. And what they do is they pray over the phone with one another. They call one another. They email one another. They support one another. And there's no doubt in my mind, this is what it's going to take in these last days. For the enemy has come down among us knowing that he's got just a short time. He doesn't have much time left. So he's pulling out all the stops. He's throwing the kitchen sink at the people of God. There's no doubt about it. We must go to another level with Jesus Christ. So those case studies. But the question comes now, how does it actually happen? What actually takes place? We're reading about the vital ingredient, the critical mass, is faith. That seems to be the power that unlocks the power. But go with me here, if you will, over in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 30. They believe that Mary was a teenager when Jesus was born. It looked like she had him out of wedlock. But I think her and Joseph got married before, didn't they? Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 30, the Bible says, "And the angel, that is Gabriel, said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Luke chapter 1, verse 32. It says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Verse 33, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Verse 37. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." You know, I looked up a word here once again. In verse 35, it says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee." I looked at that word power, and do you know what the Greek word is? Dunamis. Dunamis. When Jesus said virtue went out of him, dunamis went out. When it says the power, dunamis. The power of the Highest, the power we're talking about, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4, verse 6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." When we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Who is in you? The Holy Spirit. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost?" The Holy Spirit is God, and God lives in you. That's why nothing is impossible with you. Now, of all the things in the Bible, let me show you one of the sweetest. Luke chapter 11. Because someone may ask tonight, how do I get that power inside of me? I want that dunamis. I want that dynamite living inside of me. Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse 9. Jesus, our Savior, says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, not someone, but everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he offer him a scorpion? Now look at verse 13. If you then, you and me, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, the dunamis, to them that ask him? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. That is good news. Friends of mine, we should ask for the Holy Spirit every morning, every noon, every night. We should be asking all the time, more of you, God. You must increase. I must decrease. More of your power, more of your love, more of your wisdom, more of your Holy Spirit. God, I gotta have you. When we come to God like the Syrophoenician woman came, when we come with a made-up mind that I'm not leaving until I get what I came for, when we make up our minds like Jacob, I'm going to wrestle with you until you bless me. When we come with that kind of an attitude, we will get what we desire, because the Bible tells us that we must take it by violence. You've got to wrestle. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. Don't stop wrestling until you get that peace that passeth all understanding. Until you get that joy that the world can't give you and the world can't take it away. Oh, God has got something for us, but he's only got it for those who are determined to have it. Don't let any church member turn you around. Don't let anybody outside of the church turn you around. Make it up in your mind. I'm going through. I'm going through. I have not been with Christ all this time just to leave without the blessing. No. I'm going all the way, or I'm not going at all. Yeah. Family of God, I would encourage you tonight. You don't have a problem that God can't solve. There's no nut that he can't crack. You can't get so crooked that he can't straighten you out. You can't get so dirty that he can't clean you up. Oh, he is the specialist. He is the savior of all mankind. At this time, we're going to hear a special selection from our special music tonight. God bless you.